take our Bibles and turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. We'll read the last verse in this chapter. The last verse in this book. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Let's pray before we get into the message tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity we have each day to open it and to read from it and to learn from it. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come here and hear it preached and explained to us. Lord, we pray that we wouldn't take for granted the privilege that we have to come and hear the word preached and taught. Lord, I pray tonight as I speak that you would speak through me. Lord, there's nothing necessarily that I can do without your help. And I pray that as we listen to my words, that we would look for your word for us. Pray that as we look at the word of God, something would be made more clear to us that would make a difference in our lives and that would help us to grow in our Christian lives each day of our life and not just tonight. Again, I pray for your help and ask that you'd speak to us through the word of God tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Peter 3, verse 18 is a very familiar verse. Most of us learned it as young children. Maybe I shouldn't say most of us. Many of us learned it as young children. I know this is, if I'm remembering right, this is the verse that goes along with the green page in the wordless book. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want to try to create a void in your thinking right now. And I want to ask you, how do you grow in grace? How do you grow in grace? What is grace? Grace, for most of us, we think of that in terms of salvation. We're saved by grace. Grace is something that was given to us when we were saved. But this verse says to grow in grace. How are we supposed to grow in something that's given to us? I'm not going to leave that void here forever. I want to answer that question, but I want us to think, is grace just some mystical, spiritualized something that kind of just keeps coming to us? If so, why are we commanded? Why are we told, grow in grace? It seems like there's something that we can do about grace also. It's not just something that's out there that people that are saved experience in some way. I want us to think about this word grace, and hopefully by the end of the night you'll have a clearer idea of what grace is and how it operates in our life and how we can grow in grace and follow other commands that we're told to do concerning grace. But I want us to start to back up by thinking about this. Let me answer this question in your mind. What do you need to do to be an effective, successful, quote-unquote, good Christian? What do you need to do to be an effective, successful, good Christian? If you're a counselor, you know that when someone comes forward and we send you out with them to deal with it, we give you a little pamphlet, and that pamphlet talks about what it means to be saved, what it means to be baptized. Tells the person, gives them some information about the Bible and reading the Bible and praying. Tells them the importance of the local church and the importance of attending the local church and supporting the local church. the importance of soul winning. These are all things that most people naturally would think about, most Christians naturally would think about, if I was going to say, what do we need to do in order to be a successful Christian? We should read our Bible. We should pray. We should attend church regularly. We should give to the church. We should rear our children for the Lord. We should soul win. But I want to say those things are all evidences of a good Christian, but none of those are things that we should do in order to be a good Christian. In our Christian lives, we should do the same thing in order to be a good Christian that we did in order to become a Christian. What did you need to do in order to be saved? Okay, now none of you are going to say, well, I think you ought to go to church in order to be saved, right? We don't believe in that. You have to say a certain prayer. Pray to Mary or say a certain prayer. Give your money. Just do good things. And in the end, the Lord will weigh your works. And if your good works outweigh your bad, you'll be able to get to heaven. We don't believe that, do we? How are we saved? We're saved by grace, through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. But many times Christians fall into a trap of thinking that for some reason, while they were not able to please God enough in order to be saved, and they had to trust Christ for salvation in order to be saved, we begin to think, because we look around at ourselves and the things that we're doing, we begin to think that those things we're doing make us a good Christian. And they don't. They don't make us a good Christian any more than they make us a Christian in the first place. What do we need to do to be an effective, successful, good Christian? The same thing we needed to do in order to become a Christian. Let's look at Galatians. Galatians is really my text passage. Galatians 1, 6 through 9. We want to look at Galatians 1, 6 through 9. And I want us to think about, recognize that the book of Galatians was not written to lost people. The book of Galatians was written to a church. It was written to Christians. And Paul says in verse 6 of chapter 1, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now, if we think about that, he says, he called you into something. I marvel that you're removed from him that called you into something. That you're removed unto something else. So if we're called into something and we've moved into something else, these terms that are used there are very similar, if not exchangeable. So he says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. The gospel, when we see the word gospel and when we see grace, we can interchange them many times. And it will help our understanding of the way we ought to live. He says, I marvel that you're removed from the grace of Christ. You are saved by grace. When you are saved, what did you do? You recognize that there was nothing you could do of yourself. You recognize that you are a sinner. You recognize that sin deserved God's punishment in hell. And you recognize that you had no righteousness of your own to grant you admission into heaven. And so, because of our sin and because of the punishment for our sin, because of our lack of righteousness, we, in faith, turn to Christ. We trust Christ and say, Christ, you can wash away my sin. You can deliver me from the penalty of the sin in hell. And you can give me the righteousness that I need in order to enter heaven. There's nothing that we do of ourselves. We receive heaven by grace. We receive salvation by grace. That's what the gospel does in our lives. And yet, these Galatians, they were Christians, but they had moved from the grace of Christ to another gospel. Now, I don't know all the Greek behind this, but I was taught this in school, and I think this will be clear enough to you. He says, you're removed from the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. Well, another and another, you say, what does he mean by that? Why is he saying another gospel, which is not another gospel? Well, we could have another of the same kind, or another of a different kind. And what we'd mean by that is if I have several apples, I could have different kinds of apples, and I can also have different kinds of fruit. Okay, I have an apple of one kind and an apple of another kind. They're still an apple. Okay, if I preach the gospel and Dr. McNeely preaches the gospel, we might present it in different ways, but it's the same gospel. But if somebody else comes and preaches another gospel that's not the same, it's another of a different kind, that's the way he's using these words here. So he says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another of the same kind, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now he says, there's some that are coming to you, they're trying to trouble you, and they're going to pervert the gospel of Christ. They're going to pervert the grace of God. They're going to change the gospel. And so then Paul says, now let's think about this. Why would the gospel be important to people who are already saved? Why would the gospel be important to people who are already saved? What does it matter if they're already saved? What does it matter if the gospel, these people are coming to them to pervert it, to change it? We're going to answer that. He says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Now turn over to the next page, probably, to Galatians 2, verse 7. Galatians 2, verse 7. Now, Paul is just relating something, but he uses terms that I think will help us understand this. But contrarywise, when they saw, and these are the leaders of the church in Jerusalem, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, then let's skip the parentheses and go to verse 9, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. So here Paul uses these terms, grace and gospel, in a similar fashion. Gospel was given to him in one verse. Grace was given to him in another verse. We have to understand, and we can help us understand our understanding of Scripture if we recognize that the gospel and grace can be used interchangeably. Now, what do I mean by the gospel? What I mean is when we're saved by the gospel, we trust Christ. When we believe the gospel, we trust Christ. We don't depend on ourselves for anything. We don't depend on any work that we do for anything. We depend on Jesus Christ for salvation. And in the gospel needs to change not just what we depend on for salvation. The gospel needs to change everything in our life. The gospel changes everything. Not just salvation. Not just the way that I get to heaven. Not just the way that I escape hell. Not just the way that God sees me as righteous. The gospel has to change everything. It has to change everything I do, not just one event in my life. Let's look at some other passages of Scripture and see how this can work in our lives. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 15. Now remember, this is an epistle written to Christians. It says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. It says that in verse 7. So he's writing to saints, people that are Christians. And he says in verse 15, so, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Why does he want to preach the gospel to them in Rome? They're already saved. The gospel deals with and concerns more than just salvation. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, where? In the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We're not just made alive by faith, we live by faith. You see the difference? This is nothing new. We're saved by faith, Before that, we're dead in trespasses and sins. We're saved by faith. We're made alive, and you have quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins. We're made alive by faith. We're made alive by the gospel. But here it says, the just shall live by faith. In the gospel, therein is the righteousness of God revealed. How do I become a righteous Christian? By doing certain things? No. The same way that I became a Christian. I say, what do you mean by that? What do I have to do? What did you have to do to be saved? It's faith. It's trusting Christ. If I think that my church attendance is making me pleasing in God's sight, I'm kidding myself. I have nothing in myself that pleases God. What does the Bible say? What did God say to Hebrew Christians in Hebrews 11:6? But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So the gospel and the grace of God is what I need in order to please God. I can't be just that I come to church or that I give my offering or that I read my Bible or pray. Now, I'm not trying to say we should all go out here and throw our Bibles away and forget about praying and all that. If we live by faith, if we live according to the gospel, we will do all those things. But our emphasis and our focus cannot be that if I do this, then I'm pleasing God. There's nothing in us that pleases God. That's what makes God such a wonderful God. That's what makes salvation such a wonderful thing. Why would He be pleased with us? There's no reason for Him to be pleased with us at all. And yet He loved us. He loved us enough to save us. And He loves us even after we're saved, even though we mess up. But the things we do don't make us pleasing in God's sight. We have to live according to the gospel. We live by faith. The just man lives by faith. The one that is seen as just in God's sight is the one that lives by faith, not the one that lives by a list of things to do. The just shall live by faith. Romans 11. Romans 11, verse 6, Paul is in the middle of an argument, and he kind of comes off to the side, and he says, and he goes on what you might call is a tangent. If you read this, you say, okay, Paul, we got it. Well, just move on. But read, see what the Bible says. It says, and if by grace, then is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. You say, that's kind of confusing. Well, that's because he just said it every way possible. Grace and works don't go together. If we're to live by grace, we're not to live by works. If we're to live by faith, it's not works. Faith and works and grace and works don't go together. If it's by grace, then there's no works involved. Otherwise, grace isn't grace. If there's works involved, it's not grace. But if it be of works, it's not grace. If it's work, it's not grace. Otherwise, work isn't work. He emphasizes that over and very in a very strong way, that grace and works don't mix together. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. The Bible says there, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. I want you to notice that the gospel isn't just related to one-time event. It does relate to one-time event, but he says, you stand in the gospel. I'm standing today just because I stood some other day doesn't mean I'm standing now, but he says here, you stand in the gospel. It's a continuing thing. I haven't said this, and I just want to make it clear. I'm not saying that we have to continue to do things in order to be saved. Okay, but in order to live by faith, in order to live a good Christian life, we have to continue to do the same thing we did in order to be saved. We stand in the gospel. Verse 10 says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. If it wasn't by grace, Paul would say, because I'm of the tribe of Benjamin, because I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews, that's what I am. But he said, no, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. In our life, we have nothing, we can claim nothing. The only thing we can claim for what I am is because of God's grace. That's the way God designed it. If it were anything else, we'd have whereof to glory, right? If we, well, we'll get there again. But that's what it says in 2 Peter 3, to grow in grace and then to give Him glory. If we live by faith and by grace, we recognize, and it's not just words, we recognize that everything we do by God's grace. Through the power of God's grace, through the power of the gospel. We don't do it through our own strength, through our own determination. We live by the gospel. We can't claim anything in salvation because Christ provided all of it. And we can't claim anything in our sanctification because Christ provides all of that also. Otherwise, we could brag on ourselves. We'd be full of pride. And that's not sanctification. We have to live according to the gospel. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. He says, I labored more abundantly than they all. But it wasn't me. It was the grace of God, which was with me. Now, we have to be careful that we don't just say, well, I don't have to do, Pastor Bogan said, I don't have to do anything. All I have to do is claim the grace of God. If I just say, by God's grace, I'm going to be a good Christian. He said, I labored more abundantly than they all. But it wasn't me, but God's grace that worked through me. And what I'm saying is, if you struggle to read the Word of God, it may be, it most probably is, because you are trying to read the Word of God in order to be a good Christian. Rather than trusting the gospel, trusting Christ to give you the strength you need to have a consistent devotional life. If you trust Christ and you're reading and you're laboring through the grace of God, you really can't say, well, I think things are going good because I've been doing this and this and this. No, you say things are going good because God has given me the strength to meet every temptation that's come along the way. We live by the gospel, through the strength and the power of the gospel. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 12. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 12. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to your word. He said, I had my conversation in the world. I lived in the world. The things I did in the world, I did not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God. So how do we do these things by God's grace? By the gospel. What is the gospel? Trusting Christ for all of it. If I depend on myself for anything in the gospel, I'm not saved. If I depend on myself for anything in life, I don't have God's power. I'm not living a good Christian life. I'm not living by God's grace. And Galatians 5, verse 4. Galatians 5, verse 4. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. Well, that's a scary verse, isn't it? Does that teach that we can lose our salvation? We might be tempted to think that, wouldn't we? But I don't think so. If we recognize this concept that I'm preaching, we see that while we can be saved by grace, if we begin to think that we're justified by the things we do, we've fallen from living by grace. We've fallen from living according to the gospel. You see the idea? while we're saved, we have to continue to live by grace. We have to continue to live by the power of the gospel in order to be sanctified, in order to grow as a Christian, in order to be a good Christian. But if we start to think that we're justified, that we're sanctified, that we grow by the law, by works of the law, we've fallen from grace. We're not following grace. We're not living according to grace. We're not living according to the gospel. And so he says, you're fallen from grace. Now let's take some other practical applications of this. And let's go back to the verse we started with. 2 Peter 3:18. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace. So now with this concept in our mind, how can we grow in grace? How can we grow in grace? Well, let's think. How many times do you need God's grace in a day? How many times do you need to live according to the gospel in a day? You say all day. Well, let's just, in your mind, think, break it down a little bit. You need God's grace. You need to live according to the gospel for each decision that you make, for each temptation that comes your way. You have to say, Christ, I need your strength in order to do this. I can't do this by myself. I need your wisdom to make this decision. I can't do this by myself. Now, we could just put, let's just put a very low number on it. But let's say that we need to live according to the gospel. We need to live by the grace of God 100 times in a day. Let's just say it was just 100 times in a day that we face a decision or we face a temptation or any aspect of our life. We needed God's grace 100 times. Now, if today I trusted Christ through those temptations and testings and things I needed to do 20 times, and the rest of the time I leaned on the arm of the flesh, I did it 20 times. How can I grow in grace? Do it 30 times, right? And the next day, do it 40 times. And if we want to go by days or whatever, each day, grow in grace. Each day, depend on Him for each decision, for each temptation, to meet each need that we have. Depend on Him more and more each day. That's how we grow in grace. Grace is not just this mystical thing that just kind of falls on us. It is not anything of ourselves. It's depending on Christ. But how many times do we depend on ourselves? How many times? Through each day, even with the smallest decisions, do we depend on ourselves? We say, well, I can. You might end up doing what most people would say is the right thing. You face a temptation and you bull your way through it through the strength of your own will. And everybody thinks you did right. But you didn't live by grace. You didn't grow in grace. You depended on your own flesh to overcome that. But if we're to grow in grace, we depend on Christ for each decision, to face each temptation, to get through every aspect of our life. We grow in grace when we can always grow in grace, can't we? We're flesh, and we love to depend on ourselves. Yet we can't. If we're going to be a good Christian, we have to depend on Christ. So we grow in grace. 2 Timothy 2. 2 that explanation, these other verses might hopefully make more sense to you. But 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, here's another command. Paul says to Timothy, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. How can we be strong? I'm preaching to the college students in chapel about being strong and being courageous. And the first time we talk about being strong, how can you be strong? You have to exercise. You have to work out. You have to exercise that. So how can I be strong in grace? I have to exercise grace. I have to exercise faith. I have to exercise trusting the gospel, trusting Christ in my life. I have to do it over and over and over again. If I just do it once, if I want to be a strong weightlifter, and I go into the weight room and I push the weight once, and I come back a week later, am I going to be any stronger? No. I have to do it more. If I want to be strong mentally or strong anyway, I have to do it often. And to be strong in grace, I have to exercise my faith. I have to exercise trusting in the gospel. It's not be strong in the grace. Well, that just means that I have more of this grace cloud around me. No. It means I'm exercising the gospel. I'm exercising the faith that I trusted Christ with for my salvation in every aspect of my life. And we don't work out, we don't become strong accidentally. I don't just wake up one day and say, wow, I'm strong. I have to plan to do that. I have to intend on exercising in order to be stronger. Okay, so in the morning, when we start our day, we have to say, Lord, help me today. I'm depending on you. And then we have to think, this is how I'm going to exercise my faith today. When this, you know your schedule, you know things that happen. When I see so and so, I know I ought to be a better friend to him. I know I ought to say something nice to him, but I don't. But Lord, with your strength, I'm going to today. You exercise your faith. Exercise trusting in the gospel. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 12:28. Hebrews 12:28 says, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace. Okay, so we're to have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. We have to have grace. We have to live according to the gospel. We have to trust Christ for the strength to serve Him. We all served Him today. We went out on bus routes. We helped in a Sunday school class, or we might have taught a Sunday school class, or a junior church class, or we helped in the nursery. Or we sang in the choir. We did many different things today in the service of God, but if we didn't do it by grace, we didn't do it acceptably. In order to serve Him acceptably, we have to have grace. We have to live by the gospel. We have to trust. We have to do it in God's strength. We can't do it in our own strength. 2 Corinthians 12:9 is a very familiar verse. Maybe, hopefully, it will have deeper meaning for us now. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. He was talking to Paul. Paul was saved. But he needed grace beyond just what he needed to be saved. He was being afflicted by a thorn in the flesh. And he besought the Lord 3 times that it would go away. And God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. We don't have to be a strong individual in order to be a good Christian. We need to have strong faith. We need to trust the grace of the gospel. But we don't have to be Mr. Domineering in order to be a good Christian. God's strength is made perfect, is made complete in weakness. When we recognize our weakness, when we depend on the strong arm of our flesh, when we depend on ourselves, we don't think that we're weak. Then we get destroyed. But when we recognize our weakness and we recognize that we need His grace, then His strength is made perfect in our lives. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And so Paul says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You say, how can I become a good Christian? We have to trust Christ. Not just to become a Christian, but to become a good Christian. I can't become a good Christian without the power of Christ. But if I recognize my weakness and depend on His strength, then the power of Christ may rest upon me. The grace of God. A couple more passages. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. We'll start reading verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. You know, a lot of times we talk about being crucified with Christ, and all of a sudden somehow, rather than reading, I am crucified with Christ, we read, crucify yourself with Christ. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, I am crucified with Christ. It's a done deal. The old man is crucified with Christ. Now, I'm not saying that we don't have to battle the flesh or that temptations don't come our way. But we're a dead man. It shouldn't be a great physical turmoil to turn it over to Christ. Because that's what we have to do in order to get victory, is trust Christ. Trust in His strength. His power. If we think, we have this great spiritual affliction that's coming after us, we have this great temptation, we try to fight it in our flesh, we're not going to win, and it's going to be a terrible battle. And we're going to be crucifying ourselves. We're going to be pounding nails into ourselves and all this, and it's been done. We just recognize what Christ has already done. How do you get saved? You persecute yourself? You give yourself the tortures of hell in order to gain the favor of God? In order to get victory? In order to get release and deliverance from God in order to be saved? No. And in the same way in our Christian lives, we don't torture ourselves and do all these things in order to get victory. We trust Christ. We trust the gospel through each thing in order to have victory. I am crucified with Christ. And so then he says, after saying that, he says, verse 21, I do not frustrate the grace of God. He says, Paul says, I'm not going to frustrate the grace of God. Now that means that it's possible to frustrate the grace of God. How can we do that? Depend on ourselves. Do our own thing. Do good works through our own strength. Come to church because, you know, you have to. Come to church just to have the preacher sign off in your Reformers booklet that you did it. Or come to church because, you know, preacher sits there and he'd notice if I wasn't there. That's frustrating the grace of God. But living by the grace of God is doing it through Christ's strength. Oh, foolish Galatians, chapter 3, verse 1. Who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently sent forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. And I think this kind of encapsulates the whole idea of what we're saying tonight. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Which was it? By faith. What's the next verse say? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? It's his whole question. It's the whole point I'm saying today. Having begun in the Spirit, are we so foolish that to think that being saved by God's grace, we can move on and become perfect, become complete in Him? by the works of the flesh? That's foolish. How can we become complete in Him? The same way that we began, by trusting Christ. The same way that we began, having begun in the Spirit, we'll be made perfect by the Spirit. We're foolish if we think to begin in the Spirit, we're made perfect by the flesh. We frustrate the grace of God when we depend on these things for our righteousness. Well, let's make some really practical application. In a church like this, and where we strongly believe that the Bible teaches certain things, the Bible teaches that we ought to dress modestly. The Bible teaches that women ought to dress like women and men ought to dress like men, that there ought to be a distinction. What is the temptation, though? The temptation is for us to walk in the world and say, you see this person dressed immodestly and say, well, I'm glad I'm not like them. I'm a Christian. What makes you a Christian? Your clothes? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Or, I have short hair. Or if you're a lady, I have long hair. Either way, does our hairstyle make us a good Christian? Now, believe me, these are things that the Bible teaches, and those that trust Christ, those that want to please Him, those without faith is impossible to please Him, those that by faith please Him look like good Christians, look like what we're talking about. But just because we have certain standards doesn't make us a good Christian. That makes us a Pharisee. Remember the Pharisee? I thank thee that I'm not like this other person. That's a Pharisee. Do you depend on Fairhaven Baptist Church standards and convictions for your spirituality, for your Christianity? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you made perfect by Fairhaven Baptist Church standards and convictions? We're not made perfect by those things. We ought to do them. But we ought not do them in order to be a good Christian. We do them to please God. We do them because we're pleasing God. They're a byproduct. 2 Corinthians, just two more verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Second Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 and 11 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work," in verse 11, "being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God." There's a lot of they're not superlatives, they're beyond superlatives. Everything, all. And I guess I take that verse to remind us that the gospel changes everything. 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 Every aspect of our life. The gospel just doesn't change the way I think about getting to heaven. The gospel doesn't change, it doesn't just change my dependence on how I'm getting to heaven. The gospel changes everything. Every single thing. In all things, we can have all sufficiency and be enriched in everything to bountifulness. And what does that do? It causes what? Thanksgiving to God. Our life is nothing to brag on. We have nothing to brag on but God's grace. Nothing. Maybe I'm just preaching to myself, but I grew up here, and the temptation is, and I can't say that I haven't fallen into the temptation to think, well, I know how things are supposed to be. You do this, you do this, you do this, you do this, and things go fine. Well, you do this, you do this, you do this, you do this, and you're depending on yourself. You're not living by God's grace. You can't expect God's blessing. We must live by grace. We must live by the gospel. The gospel needs to be powerful in our own lives, not just in the lives of the lost. The gospel needs to be powerful in our own lives. Now, let's look at James chapter 2, verse 17. James chapter 2, verse 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. I bring this up because there may be some here saying, yeah, but aren't we supposed to do things? Doesn't James say that, you know, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works? Yes, he does. But let me say this. Yes, faith without works is dead. But works without faith is legalism. Works without faith is legalism. And we're not saved, and we can't live by legalism. We live by the just shall live by faith. Sure. That's what I'm saying all along. These things, they demonstrate our faith. They demonstrate that we're trusting Christ. But if we just do those things as proof, we do those things in our own strength, we're depending on whom? Ourselves. And the gospel is all about depending on Christ. It's about not depending on ourselves. And so the gospel has to change everything in our life. Every aspect of our life is about depending on Christ. The gospel changes everything. It changes the way we look at our standards. It changes the way we look at our service to God. It changes the way that we look at soul winning. You know, we're a soul winning church, but there's some churches that just say, you know, you have to be soul winning. You have to have 30 people get saved in a week or one a day for, you know, bless God, I've gotten one person saved every day for the last 5 years of my life, or every week for the last 5 years of my life. And that makes me a good Christian. No, that doesn't make you a good Christian. That's works. That's your thing. Or whatever it is that you do in God's service. Those things don't make us a good Christian. While we ought to do them, they don't make us a good Christian. Our strength comes from God. The seeing souls saved and witnessing, just doing the witnessing, comes from God. Our service for God comes and should be done because of and for God. Our standards, we live a certain way. We don't drink beer. We don't smoke cigarettes. We look a certain way through God's power and because of God. The gospel changes everything, not just one thing. So the gospel, we ought to pray that the gospel is strong in our lives, that it's powerful in our lives. Well, you know, during the fall push, we pray that the gospel is clear to the lost. But the gospel can work in my life today, even though I was saved over 20 years ago. It must work in my life today. Otherwise, I'm depending on myself. When the gospel works in our life, when we trust the gospel, we're trusting Christ for every aspect of life. And that's the only way we can live a good, to use that term, Christian life. It's the only way we can have a successful Christian life. It's the only way we can be made complete or be made perfect. Are we so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, having begun by trusting Christ, can we be made perfect in the flesh? No. We must trust the gospel. We must grow in grace. Think about that, those 100 times in a day. And if we're honest with ourselves, or the more deeply we think about it, obviously it's many more than 100 times in a day when we need God's grace. And how many of those times do we depend on our own strength? I challenge you, as I challenge myself, to grow in grace. Tomorrow, depend on God's grace more times than you did today. Grow in grace. Be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel, trusting Christ for every temptation, for every decision, for every aspect of our life, changes everything in our life. Let's pray.